Well, good morning, everybody. Are you ready for a new year? I want to hear you say, I'm ready. All right, you sound like you are. You know what I'd love? This place has a lot of energy when it's filled up, doesn't it? So why don't you all just make a commitment to 52 weeks? I'm going to be here. Now, we'll give you off for vacation if you want. And maybe one or two for not feeling good. But come on, at least 48 times, right? If we all commit to doing that, we can have this kind of fun every week. Now, you know, I hope you had a great Christmas and New Year's celebration, but I hope you are ready to dig into a great 2009. I am. My Christmas was good. There were a few unexpected turns here and there. It started with my son being unable to negotiate the curve in our neighborhood due to the ice, and his car eventually found the only all-brick mailbox in our neighborhood. So one of his Christmas presents was a new bumper on the car. Fortunately, it didn't take out the mailbox. And then, you know, we had this great Christmas production. We finished up on Wednesday, Christmas Eve, and I needed to get myself to Ohio. So I took off about 4:30 that afternoon, had to go through Indianapolis to pick up my daughter, headed on to Ohio. Well, it was about 12:15 a.m. I was about 10 miles from home. And I got to meet one of the nicest Ohio State troopers you ever could meet. Have no idea what he was doing out that late at night. And he was nice. He gave me an early Christmas present. I didn't have to contribute to the police fund, you know, this type of thing. It really was funny. You know, we had traveled 385 miles. I had, you know, that last stretch, I've got that thing, that cruise set on 65 mile an hour. I was in a 55 mile per hour zone when I saw those red lights. But, you know, he came up to the window and he said, sir, I had you clocked at 62 mile an hour. Were you aware that you were going that fast? I almost said, no, I actually meant to be going a little bit faster than that. Darn cruise control must not work right, you know. But I caught myself before I could go there. Anyway, all the travel and festivities the last few weeks, we went to Iowa this week for our see the in-laws for New Year's. But I'm kind of like, okay, you know, we've got all that done, and we can get down to the business of making 2009 a real breakthrough time in our lives as we start our 21-day journey towards real change. Now, last week, I know a lot of you weren't here last week, but if you weren't, you know, you can pick up the DVD or the CD or go online and listen to what we talked about, positioning ourselves for breakthrough. And today we're starting the 21-day journey for breakthrough. Now, the seed idea for this series started for me last year on the weekend of January 26th and 27th. That weekend, my family and I were down at Toccoa Falls, Georgia, to spend a few days with my son, watch a couple of his basketball games on Friday and Saturday night. My oldest daughter, Katie, had flown in from Indy because her birthday fell on that weekend, so we were there to celebrate her birthday. We had my other daughter out of school for a little bit of time there, and my son Nathan doesn't like basketball and stuff, so he stayed home. But anyway, most of us were there. We had a great time. And on Sunday morning, we drove about 35 to 40 minutes to attend this large church of 10,000 people in Gainesville, Georgia. Not Gainesville, Florida. It's Gainesville, Georgia. And we took in a service at the Free Chapel, led by a pastor named Jensen Franklin. He's a pastor that's on TV once in a while. I've watched him. He's not one of the crazy, wild and crazy guys. You know, he just preaches a great message. And I thought, man, he's only a half hour away or so. Let's go down and see this guy. I said, Jonathan, you'll love this guy, you know. So we got there for the second service at this huge church. We had to sit in the balcony, back row. And still, we enjoyed the worship and the teaching time. But on this particular Sunday, they were finishing up a 21-day fast as a church, a practice that they had been doing for 7 years now, where they give the first 3 weeks of the new year to a journey of prayer and fasting. Now, I found it a bit hard to believe that a church of that size would undertake a corporate fast where they kind of encourage everybody to kind of do this for 21 days. And not only that, but it seemed like they actually looked forward to it each year and would even continue. You know, they would draw new people while they're going through a fast. I thought, my goodness, I've heard of churches growing through the generous use of potlucks and pig outs, but I've never heard of anybody growing through fasting, you know, this type of thing. And yet the energy and the excitement in this church were contagious. I thought, well, that's probably because they're finishing their fast this week, you know. But I picked up his book. I thought we'd have a number of these, but we're going through a little transition in our own bookstore, so you may just pick it up, Amazon.com, or go to Barnes & Noble. I saw they had a number of these. I picked up the book, and in March, I read through Jensen's book on fasting. And the whole time I was reading it, I found myself talking to the Lord about whether this was something our church needed to do. You know, I knew how times and seasons of fasting in my own life had deepened my spiritual walk, but I had always felt like this was probably just a spiritual discipline for my own personal use and not necessarily something I should encourage the church to join me in. But several factors converged to convince me otherwise. One, the more I studied Jesus' teaching on this, I felt, yeah, you know what? He talked about three of the most powerful disciplines in the Christian's life. And in each case, he said, when practiced with a motive to please the Father, Jesus spoke of the rewards that the Father himself would give to those who practice these three disciplines. In Matthew 6, he said, kind of based upon, you saw the little film clip when you came in today, when you pray, when you give, and when you fast. Notice he said when. He didn't say if. He said when. And it's like he just kind of expected that these would be the normal course of the Christian life. And he said that when you do these things with a heart to please your Father, rather than just to impress people or try to gauge your spirituality and this type of thing, he said, your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Now, guys, I'm convinced that there is great reward in each of these three practices, but it's interesting to me that only two of them get talked about in most Christian circles. See, prayer is a no-brainer, right? We'd never think, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, you would expect that, we're supposed to pray. Right? People talk about that all the time, the benefits of praying, how it keeps us connected to the Father, how he gives us answers to prayer, all that type of thing. And then, most followers of Christ understand that giving is a part of this deal too. Now, they don't like it when you talk about it. Okay, I'll only talk about it like one time out of the year, but no, Jesus talked about when you give. And we understand, giving's a part of what Christians do. But when have you ever heard a message on fasting? I spent almost my entire 50 years in the church. I don't ever remember hearing somebody talk about fasting as if that's something that Christians are supposed to do. And yet Jesus taught it very clearly. And so I thought, well, maybe this is something that we should begin to think about a little bit. Now, a second factor that convinced me to teach on this was simply reading the testimonies in Jensen's book. And you'll find some great testimonies in here of fabulous breakthroughs and changes that have occurred in people's lives as they have hungered for God's word and for God's work and for God's will in their lives during this 21-day journey. One lady wrote, I have been fasting for my family and my children to get saved. And she said, I've gone 7 days with no food. Now, I'll talk about that because there is kind of a no-food fast. We'll talk about that. But she said, I was trying to decide whether I was going to begin the Daniel fast. We'll understand what the Daniel fast is. That's where you eat vegetables and fruit. But she says, I'm not going to debate it any longer because after 2 years of running from the Lord, my daughter got saved this morning. That happened during one of their 21-day fasts. She was fasting for her daughter to come to salvation, and that happened for her. One mom wrote, our son is 19 years old and was diagnosed with cystic fibrosis at the age of 5. Recently, he was admitted to the hospital because his oxygen level had fallen to 70%. About a week after the fast ended, he turned critical, and I was notified that his lungs could fail at any moment. Now, it's great that she was in a church and she knew kind of what to do. So she called her husband, her friends, her family. She said, I called a solemn assembly of prayer and fasting for 24 hours. Beginning at 5 p.m. that Thursday until 5 p.m. Friday. Needless to say, at 4 p.m. Friday, the 23rd hour of the fast, my son's carbon dioxide test came back normal after the medical doctor had said there was nothing more he could do. Now, his book includes stories of financial breakthroughs, relational breakthroughs. In some cases, there have been addictions broken off of people's lives. And best of all, many people have turned to the Lord while their loved ones were fasting and praying for them. And I thought to myself, why would I not teach about this practice when it can bring real change and great reward to our lives? Now understand, guys, it is not a cure-all. It's not a way to earn brownie points with God. There's none of the spiritual disciplines. As I said last week, they position us before God so that He can change us. They're not a way to earn brownie points with Him. They're not a way to measure our spirituality with someone else. So you need to understand, if you come here Wednesday night and you decide to eat a meal before the Wednesday meal, there's nobody going to be walking in going, ah, they're not fasting. You know, the kind of thing where we don't get all squirrely about this thing. This is just a powerful way to position your heart in humility and hunger before God as you seek Him for what you need. Now, a third factor that convinced me of our need to learn about and incorporate this practice into our lives is because I believe that there are some breakthroughs that will only happen as we pray and fast that won't happen any other way. Jesus spoke to this powerful reality when His disciples couldn't heal a young boy one day, even though Jesus had already given the disciples the authority to heal, all right? He gave them authority. He said, you go out, lay your hands on people, heal for me, okay? So here they are, they're just doing what Jesus told them, and they come up against a case where this boy, they're laying hands on him trying to heal, and he's not healed. So the father comes to Jesus, and look what he says in Matthew 17, 15, 16. He says, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is an epileptic and is suffering greatly. He often falls into the fire or into the water. I brought him to your disciples, but they could not heal him. And in context, it's like Jesus goes, oh, man. You know, how long have I put up with you guys, you know? And so Jesus ministers to the boy, and he not only heals this physical condition, but in this case, there was a demon present, a very stubborn demon that kept throwing this little boy into the water and the fire and this type of thing. And Jesus cast that demon out. When His disciples later came to Him and asked Him why they couldn't cast it out, Jesus said in Matthew 17, 21, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Now, you look in your Bible, and some of your Bibles, verse 21, may be there and it may not be there. If it's not there, there's a little letter, and you go down to the bottom of the page, and it says this particular verse is questioned as to whether it was in the original manuscripts and all this type of thing. But I want to tell you that what is not in question is that there are some stubborn situations that will only submit to prayer and fasting that submit to no other means. Now, I'm not sure where I got the following illustration, but it made a lot of sense to me when I first came across it. And so I wanted to, some of you may want to just draw this out with me today so you understand. But we're gonna draw this triangle, and it represents the will of God for your life. You want to live your life in here. And this truncated part here, we've got A, B, C, which is the entire will of God. We're going to put a D and an E here. And this truncated part of the cone represents the objectives that you can obtain in God's will through prayer. See, there are some things that are only going to come to your life that won't come to your life unless you pray so that you receive it. We'll talk more about that next week. But this part up here, so D, B, C, E represents what only comes to your life through prayer. A, D, and E represents what only comes to your life through fasting and prayer. Now understand, guys, nothing that, you know, you might be going after something out here. Let's say over the next couple of weeks, you decide that one of the objectives of your fasting and prayer, I'm gonna pray that I win $2 million in the lottery. Well, you know, you can't be real clear that that's in the will of God for you. So, you know, whenever you're praying about something outside the will of God, it doesn't matter how much you fast and pray. It ain't going to happen. There are other things inside the will of God that are going to happen as you pray. And then there is this place here at the top that are only going to happen as you fast and pray. And this is what Jesus was making clear in this passage. You don't know what those things are. I would say to you, if you've been praying about some things for a long time and you believe you're in the will of God, well, you're praying for them and there's no breakthrough, I would add some fasting in prayer. And you might see the breakthrough that you're looking for. Now, the clincher for me is, in terms of why we need to learn a little bit more about this, is that if Jesus could have accomplished all that he came to do without fasting, then why in the world would he have practiced fasting? It's because the Son of God fasted because he knew there were supernatural things that could only happen through fasting and prayer combined that are going to happen no other way. So I say, if this was true for Jesus, and he practiced fasting along with prayer, then how much more should we consider fasting to be a valid practice for our own lives, for some of the things God wants to do for us? Now, a fourth factor that convinced me to teach on this was that while we were on spring break last April down in Florida, just shortly after I had read Jensen's book on fasting, we ran into a couple of, I'll say probably 19, 20, 21-year-old guys and gals who were staying at the same condo as we were, and I noticed that these young guys started hanging around my daughter Victoria and her friend, so I was just kind of keeping my eye on them because they seemed to come around whenever we were on the beach, and they weren't following me around. And I noticed that my daughter and her friend had started talking to them. And one day, Victoria introduced me to them and said, "Dad, this guy, the guy that we were talking to, he goes to that church in Gainesville, Georgia, that we attended when we were there in January. And he even used to date the pastor's daughter." I was like, "Good, he can keep dating that pastor's daughter." But anyway, I made it a point to talk to them the next time I saw them. And here's this guy and a couple of his buddies who had come down with his sister and one of her friends, and both this brother and sister were Christians who attended the Free Chapel in Gainesville, Georgia. I told them that we had been there on the last Sunday in January when they were ending their 21-day fast, and they said something like, "Yeah, we've been doing that for several years now. It's really great, you know." And I said, "Well, do you guys participate in that?" And they were like, "Yeah, we usually do the Daniel fast." And I'm sitting here going, you tell me where else you've run into 19, 20, and 21-year-olds that know, not only can tell you that they've had a great time fasting, but they know what the Daniel fast is and can tell you about the blessings that have come to their life. I said, "That's it, man. I'm putting this thing on the docket and for this year, because I believe that there are some blessings and breakthroughs that are going to come to our lives as we hunger for real change in our lives and we position ourselves through fasting and prayer." So today, we are beginning, starting off the new year, with a 21-day journey in which we're going to incorporate some form of fasting as we seek a deeper walk with the Lord, along with the changes that we need in our lives, in our families' lives, as well as the breakthroughs we need for particular struggles and situations in our lives. As Jensen says, and I love this quote, he says, "The discipline of fasting releases anointing and favor and the blessing of God in the life of a Christian." And then listen to this. He says, "So if you are not content to go through this year the way you went through last year, now is the time to use the discipline of fasting to see breakthroughs." So I have to ask you today, are there some things you're seeking God for, or are you content to just keep going through this year the way you went through last year, or do you want some things to change? See? That's what we're talking about. Now let me explain just a little bit about how we're going to do this, and then I want to talk about some of the powerful benefits or reasons why you should consider taking this journey with us. First, I want you all to have one of these Real Change booklets that I put together for this journey, okay? This is just called The 21-Day Journey, part of the Real Change Weekend Message Series. It says Real Change, Fasting for Spiritual Breakthrough. And I've got a personal word from Pastor Cal in here. It starts with January 5, which is tomorrow. And it runs through January 25th, which is 3 weeks from today. And it just kind of guides you with a thought on fasting each day, then gives you a scripture passage to read with some questions to reflect on, and then kind of a prayer focus. And so if you do nothing else, you may decide, "Hey, this fasting thing I'm not sure about, but I want to take the 21-day journey." If you do nothing else, use this as a prayer guide over the next 3 weeks as we go through this together as a church. As well, I want you all to be sure you have a tip sheet which we've made available at all of the different kiosks and desks around here today. This is just a tip sheet that'll cover a lot of ground that I can't cover today, that'll just fill in a lot of information that you might need on fasting that you don't understand. As well, on Tuesday, we're going to put it out on the website, so you can always come to the website and look for other, you know, for other information. It'll give you a place where you can ask questions as we're going through this 21-day journey. And more than anything, I want those of you who experience some kind of breakthrough over the next 21 days, you send your story. Because 3 weeks from now, I'm going to tell you stories about what God has done in the lives of people here at Northwoods as we have positioned ourselves during these 3 weeks to receive the breakthroughs that only He can give. Now, I've put on this tip sheet, and I'm not going to go through everything that's on there, but as a note of first importance, and I want to state it right up front, I want you all to really be listening to it. Are you listening? I want you to say, I'm listening. Okay, I want you to get this. If you are on medications, or you have any medical conditions that would make it physically problematic for you to fast, you make sure you check in with your doctor before you change up your diet or decide to go without a meal here or there. See, I don't want people calling me and saying, hey, my 80-year-old mom landed in the hospital because you told her to fast. Now, you all got it? You say got it. All right. Guys, what we're talking about is a powerful practice that anyone can make use of in some form, but you have to be reasonable about it and only do what God is calling you to do. There are ways that you can implement a partial fast that allows you to get the nutrients you need, and it will still be meaningful and powerful in your life. So if you can't go on like a complete fast for a day or two, and again, we're not talking about doing a full 21 days with no food, though some of you may do that. One of the important points we explain on the tip sheet is deciding what kind of fast would be right for you. For instance, there are different types of fasts, and God uses all of them. He knows your heart. He knows your hunger to get closer to Him. So this isn't something you need to get all legalistic about and say, well, you know, it only counts if I do it this way or if I do it for this long. For instance, there is the normal fast. A normal fast is abstaining from solid food and drinking only water and like 100% juice, or perhaps for an extended period of time, those of you who may do 5 days or 7 days or 10 days or whatever of a normal fast, you may use some broth at times, you know, so that's just to help you get through a time where you're abstaining from solid food. Then there is what we call the partial fast, and this is also often called the Daniel fast, which is abstaining from meats and breads and sweets and wines and sodas and eating only vegetables and fruit and drinking water and juices for a period of time. So that will work well for those of you with medical conditions for whom the normal fast would be impractical and or dangerous. Now, whatever type of fast or a combination thereof you decide on, I have put some ideas on the tip sheet to give you some guidance depending on your experience with fasting. For instance, some of us are beginners. Now I want to just see the hand of those. If you would say, I'm a beginner, I've never really had any experience with this fasting thing at all. Go ahead and just put your hand. Okay, that's what I thought. There would be a lot of people who would say, this really hasn't been something that I've done before. All right, if you're a beginner, I've got a tip on there that says, don't attempt to run before you learn to walk. For instance, you might consider, as part of your 21-day journey, just fasting one meal out of the day for the next 21 days. So I might just say, I'm not going to eat during the lunch hour. I'll eat breakfast. I'll eat later on in the evening, but I'm not eating during the lunch hour. Whatever you decide to do, wherever you are eliminating maybe one meal, then use this as your food during that time. Take the word of God and say, well, I'm not eating at lunch today, so I'm going to go somewhere where I can just kind of pull out my Bible and go through the devotional thoughts for that moment, okay? This type of thing. Now, you may decide as well, if you're a beginner, maybe try a partial fast for 3 or 4 days out of the week. Again, this doesn't have to be the complete week. You might say, hey, Monday to Thursday this week, let's do the vegetable and fruit deal. And then maybe on Friday, I'll fast one meal. And see, you can do any combination. And I would encourage you, maybe along about the third week, you might decide that you're up for trying a full day, or maybe two full days, or something along that line. But you do what works for you. Some of you are intermediates. You've tried fasting before, you've done this, and so you have some experience. You might think in terms of a normal fast on one or two days out of the week. Maybe you're going to do a Wednesday and Friday, where it's I'm going to abstain from all food on those days, or whatever. Or you might just decide, I'm going to do the 21 days as a Daniel fast, so that I'm going to do the vegetables and fruit, but do it for 21 days. Others of us, maybe a little bit more experienced, are going to say, hey, I'll do a Daniel fast, but I'm going to do a full 7 to 10 days or 15 days or whatever it might be of a normal fast where I'm going to abstain from all food and just drink water and fruit juice. Again, it is up to you. You get before God and say, Lord, what would be good for me right now? You make it something that's meaningful for you, okay? Meaningful between you and God, because if it doesn't mean anything to you, it ain't going to mean anything to Him, okay? But the most important thing is that you set aside time to seek God for the breakthroughs and the changes you need in your life. Okay, we're not trying to impress each other with how long or what type of fasting we've incorporated into the journey. And one other thing you want to remember is you're doing this for you. You're not forcing other people to do it. This, you know, part of what will make it difficult for some of you moms is you might decide that you're kind of, I've decided on my approach, but you still have to cook for the rest of the family, right, who maybe aren't doing it. What you don't want to do is go, hey, kids, guess what? For the next 7 days, you aren't going to eat because I'm not going to eat, you know. You don't want to do that. Now, there are ways you can help the kids incorporate this as well. Like I had a friend tell me last night, you know, what we've done is we've asked the kids to fast sweets for a period of time. You might find that maybe it's not food. Maybe it's fasting the computer or fasting computer games. Or fasting television, something that, you know, wherever you feel like this thing's got its claws into us and we need to break its hold on us, that's a great, great thing to fast from. So there are all kinds of dimensions to this fasting. Another important point, there's no guilt involved here, okay? Like I said, nobody's walking in to find out whether you're eating on Wednesday. You may decide that you're going to fast for a full day, and then you break down about mid-afternoon and say, oh, I got to have something to eat. I can't do this. Guys, you didn't displease God if that happens, okay? I've had times where I was on a five-day fast, and about day three, I saw a bowl of peanut M&Ms, and I broke down and I ate a few. That just became an occasion to start back in and ask God for help to dethrone my stomach. I read about one guy who's done that, you know, he's had about 20 years running where he does a 40-day fast. I mean, this is a part of his life. And he tells in his book about the fact that on one of those, he was like 20 days in, and every time he'd go to the kitchen, there was this big bag of potato chips, which is his downfall. He said, that sucker would be calling my name every time I was in the kitchen. He said, about day 20, on one of these fasts, he says, I just tore into that bag and I devoured the whole thing. Now, he didn't let guilt derail him. He just went back and said, all right, God, I got to get back on here. He asked God for help to allow him to finish, and he just finished out the next 20 days. So don't get all guilted out. I may set a goal to pray 20 minutes a day. So what if there's a day that I only pray 10 minutes or a day where I didn't pray at all? This is not where God's sitting up there going, oops, he missed it today. Oops, he missed it. You see what I'm saying? These are ways that we position ourselves before him. We don't earn brownie points. So don't let guilt be a part of the journey. Now, someone might ask, well, why 21 days? And guys, there's no magical number to this, but change theorists know that there is something powerful about sustained focus for at least 3 weeks. I mean, the basic idea is that for any meaningful change to occur in our lives, it takes about 3 weeks to unthaw an old habit. It takes about 3 weeks of practicing another habit, and then 3 weeks of freezing that habit so that it takes the place of that old habit. What we're saying is we're going to give 3 weeks of sustained focus to areas in our lives that need change, and we're inviting God through prayer and fasting to say, Lord, bring these breakthroughs in my life that haven't seemed to come any other way. Now, again, understand that this is not about fasting from all food for an entire 21 days, though there are people among us who may decide to do that. This is a 21-day journey that incorporates fasting, either a little or a lot, into our practice as we seek the Lord for the changes and breakthroughs that we need. So again, the focus is on seeking God. The focus is on positioning ourselves before Him in such a way that He can bring the changes to our lives that He wants to bring. Now, I want to help launch us on our journey by using the last bit of our time today to talk about one of the most important aspects of our 21-day journey, and that's deciding what breakthroughs or changes you're going to seek God for. In fact, I've written you a little note on the inside cover of this journal. Again, a personal word from Pastor Cal, and on the second page here, you'll note that there is a place for you to write down my top three reasons for fasting. Those are just, what are the breakthroughs or changes that I'm seeking God for during this time? Write them down and keep them before you, because I believe your Heavenly Father has some special rewards in store for you. In fact, if you have your Bible, I want you to turn to Matthew 6. One of the things we're going to do this year, we're going to make it more of a practice to bring our Bibles with us. If you don't have a Bible, we'll make sure that there are always Bibles available, but we'll still put stuff up on the screen if you don't have yours. But Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting." Now, guys, I want you to understand that there are going to be people who probably figure out that you're fasting, because you may go out to lunch and you're only going to drink water, and somebody's going to say, "What, aren't you eating today?" And all you have to do is just say, "Well, you know what, I'm kind of on this journey that our church has taken, and so today I'm just drinking some water," or whatever. You don't have to make a big deal about it. You're not fasting so they can think you're spiritual. You understand? It's kind of hard to fast in our day and age without somebody knowing. We're not doing it to parade it before people. But then it goes on, "When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face." Yes, it's okay to shower, guys. It's okay to smile and act like you're just as full to the brim as you can be. You know what I'm saying? You don't go around going, "Oh my gosh, I'm doing this fast," you know. It's even okay to use a breath mint here and there, because if you go a day or two fasting, you're probably going to knock some people over. There are going to be toxins coming out of your system that give you really bad breath. So it's okay to use a breath mint if you need to do that. But here's what Jesus says. "When you fast, put oil on your head, wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." What are some of the rewards? What are some of the benefits of fasting? I just want to cover that real quickly. Benefit number one is this: fasting can increase the intimacy of your walk with God. I have seen this do this in my own life. It's kind of like Anna in Luke chapter 2 and verse 37, it says she never left the temple but worshiped night and day, fasting and praying. And one of the great prayers that you can make during this next 21 days is, "Lord, will you deepen my life and give me a deeper hunger for worship and a deeper hunger to know you better, a deeper hunger to walk in love with you." Man, I've seen times of fasting where I've been on the other side. The stomach has been shut down, and there's a sensitivity, and there's a love, and there's a depth. I'll find tears coming to my eyes without even knowing why, because it just feels like I'm walking in a new depth of love. And I've been there to where it's like, when it's time to break the fast, I don't want to break the fast. And then I smell some food and I go, "Well, okay, I guess I'll break the fast." But there is a tender place on the other side of that stomach just kind of being put out of commission for a little bit that brings you into intimacy with God like nothing else. Benefit number two is fasting can increase your power to withstand temptation. It's interesting that Jesus had been fasting for 40 days in Matthew 4 when Satan came to him and tempted him with three mighty temptations. And had Jesus failed in this moment, had he given into these temptations and sinned, his mission would have been over and we would not have salvation. He could not have been that perfect sacrifice on the cross. So yes, he won the battle at the cross, but guys, long before that, he won the battle. Victory over temptation. And I believe the reason he had the power to withstand that temptation is he had just come off of 40 days of fasting. I have seen this in my life as well. There have been times where I have come through a time of fasting and I knew that the power of temptation had just been decreased in my life. If some of you are having problems withstanding temptation or you're bound by some kind of addiction, fasting is a powerful tool to use in coming against it and seeing change in your life. And part of why fasting is so powerful is that it dethrones King Stomach. You know who King Stomach is, don't you? I mean, if you don't, just look down right now and introduce yourself. He wants you to believe that he's in control. And he is going to do everything. In fact, he's probably grumbling and discontent right now as you're even thinking about this. You know, oh, don't go there, don't go there, don't go there. He wants you to believe he's in charge and he's not going to give up control in your life without a fight. Philippians 3:19 talks about people for whom their God is their stomach, which means that they are controlled by their appetites, be it physical, emotional, sexual. There's something that feels good in here. And whenever we're in bondage to whatever it is, and we think about it, it feels good in here. And we just, oh, okay, got to go have that. I want to tell you something, guys. When you say, appetite, you are no longer in control. Stomach, you are no longer in control of me. When you take control of your physical appetite, you develop strength to control your emotional appetite. Benefit number three, fasting can bring special protection and provision for you and your family. Look at Ezra 8:21. There by the Ahava Canal, I proclaimed a fast so that we might humble ourselves before our God and ask him for a safe journey for us and our children with all of our possessions. Some of you guys need breakthroughs for your family. You need breakthroughs for children who have wandered away. Some of you need breakthroughs financially for your possessions. Fasting is a great way to come before God and fast on behalf of yourself and your family and your possessions. Benefit number four, fasting can bring clarity and direction to tough decisions. In Acts 13 and verse 2, the Bible says about the early church, while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I've called them. See, God gave clear direction concerning the next step in their mission. And I've experienced this at times in my life when I needed direction for a particular decision. And for those of you who are facing tough decisions right now, I want to tell you, best thing you could do is bring a little fasting and prayer to that decision. It was July of 2006. I'll never forget. I almost left here to head into another ministry experience because I no longer could get clarity about what I was supposed to be doing here, how I was supposed to be leading this church. And I didn't want to just keep leading without clarity. And I'm so glad that before just going ahead and making that decision, I had some study break time set aside. And it was during a 5-day period of fasting and praying that God broke in and gave me clarity about the need to take our church deeper and move people to maturity. He showed me that we were giving people enough truth to get them started on their faith journey, but not enough truth to transform them and establish them in their faith. And consequently, a lot of people were not developing in their faith or overcoming the challenges in their lives. And guys, I want to tell you, had not July of 2006 happened in my life, I wouldn't even be teaching on this today, because I would still be trying to convince you about all the little changes and tweaks that you can do in your life. And I've had enough of the changes and tweaks that I can do. I want the change that only God can do. Don't you? And so the whole E4 strategy, encountering God, getting established, equipped, and engaged, came from a time of fasting and prayer. I didn't sit down and just try to figure that out. It came from a time of fasting and prayer. And guys, I want to tell you, God gave me clarity about why I felt stuck and why I felt the church was stuck. And if you're feeling stuck and you need clarity and direction, don't just head off without seeking the Lord in fasting and prayer. Benefit number five, fasting can lead to spiritual renewal in people's lives. Not only is this true of your own life, but I would encourage you to pray for other people that need some spiritual renewal in their life during this time. People that you want to see come to Christ. People who have run away from God. And you want to see them come back. 1 Samuel 7, verse 6. This was a renewal time for the people of Israel. It says, on that day, they fasted, and there they confessed, we have sinned against the Lord. There is something about fasting and prayer that brings not only renewal to our lives, but brings about breakthroughs for other people. In this book, on Jensen's book, there's a gal named Shauna who writes about her son, 15-year-old son, who was a Christian at the time when his dad committed suicide. She said, from that moment on, he turned his back on God. He has run from him for the past 15 years, but she said God never gave up on him. He and his brand new wife came to a service after the wedding in Tennessee. They sat in the balcony. And that morning, she says, she's writing to Jensen, she says, that morning as you were closing the service and you were giving this altar call, she said, you said, there is someone here that if you don't take this opportunity today, you will never get another one. And my son said, he looked up and you were pointing right at him. He looked over at his new wife and said, "Well, are we going?" And both of them came down and accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. His new wife was raised Buddhist and had never heard about Jesus until she met my son. And this lady said, "My fast ended January 22nd, and 10 days later, two of my greatest requests were answered." Golly, I want to see that happen in my life. Yes, this journey is for you, but there are others who need you to make it about them as well. So use this time to ask God to reveal himself to others who desperately need his love and his forgiveness in their lives. I just believe there, you know, we stand here 3 weeks from now and we talk about some of the things that God's done. We're going to hear some tremendous stories. Make sure you send me the stories. Benefit number six is this, and we'll close with this. Fasting can bring about physical healing and renewal. Don Colbert has researched and studied the body's need to rid itself of toxins that cause illness and disease and fatigue and other ailments. In his book, Toxic Relief, he has a chapter entitled Finding Healing Through Fasting, and it is an excellent source of information and cautions. He writes, "Fasting does not only prevent sickness, if done correctly, it holds amazing healing benefits to those of us who suffer illness and disease. From colds and flu to heart disease, fasting is a mighty key to healing the body." Dr. Oda H.F. Birchinger, who supervised more than 70,000 fasts in people's lives, he stated, "Fasting is a royal road to healing for anyone who agrees to take it, for recovery and regeneration of the body, mind, and spirit." He went on to say, "Fasting could heal and help rheumatism in the joints and muscles, diseases of the heart, circulation, blood vessels, stress-related exhaustion, skin diseases." Hey, teenage gals, listen to this one. "Pimples and complexion problems, irregular menstrual cycles and hot flashes, disease of respiratory organs, allergies such as hay fever and other eye diseases." You know, there was another doctor to test the results of fasting on the human body, Dr. Tanner, medical doctor. He decided at the age of 50 to fast for 43 days. And this was a total fast without food. He did so under strict medical supervision. At the conclusion of the fast, he was much healthier in every way. At age 60, he fasted 50 days with remarkable spiritual breakthroughs. At age 77, Dr. Tanner fasted 53 days, and among other things that happened, listen to this, his once thin gray hair was replaced by new black hair, the same color as when he was a young man. Now, guys, I'm not guaranteeing that one, okay? Because I know some of you are sitting here, how long do you have to go for that? Think I can get a new head of hair? I'll tell you what he did do. He lived to be 93 years old. It's also proven that fasting sharpens your mental process, aids and improves your sight, your hearing, your taste, your touch, your smell, and all sensory faculties, and breaks your addiction to junk food. Wouldn't that be nice? Now, guys, with all those benefits and more, and the Heavenly Father's promise to reward us, I just want to encourage you, let's set our hearts on seeking Him and hungering for Him these next 3 weeks. I believe as we do this over the next weeks, we are setting ourselves up for breakthrough time in 09. By starting the year with a fast, you are setting the course for the whole rest of the year. When you devote the first fruits to God, be it your time, your money, your year, it brings blessing on all the rest. Moreover, these next 21 days are a powerful way to release the principle found in Matthew 6:33. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things that we tend to worry about and think we need, they'll all be added to us, God says. Jensen writes, "If you are in a rut or a routine where your walk with God just isn't cutting it, if your circumstances seem to be the biggest obstacle in your life, stop everything and begin a fast, one day or several days, some food or all food. The details are not as important as your heart's desire to satisfy God with your worship and your sacrifice." And so, Northwoods, I just want to say, let's hunger for Him. And as we do, our Heavenly Father promises to reward us. Let's not lose out on those rewards. Will you stand with me? And what we're going to do, let's just make this our prayer today as we conclude this time by saying, "Lord Jesus, be my everything." Let's sing it together. That's really what we're hungry for, is that Jesus would be our everything. And I hope you'll make this a 21-day journey of hungering for more of what He has for you. Guys, we're going through a transition in the bookstore right now, so I don't have these books here, but you can go on Amazon.com or pick it up at Barnes & Noble. Make sure you get a fasting sheet as you leave here today. It's just a tip sheet. We'll have some stuff on the website starting on Tuesday where you can come on there and look for some helps as well. And also send your stories to us. as you're receiving breakthroughs, because 3 weeks from now, we're just going to celebrate what God's done. And if there are great stories that have happened in your life, we want to hear them. And make sure you pick up your 21-day journey. And whatever God asks you to do, let's just make this 3 weeks of saying, God, we're just dedicating this whole year to you right from the start. Because we want to see breakthrough. We want to see the real change that only you can bring. Amen? Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, thank you for this time today. Thank you for how your truth speaks. And thank you that you're a living God who wants to show us more of yourself. Some of us have issues in our life, Lord, that we know there's not a whole lot we can do about. And we simply bring ourselves before you. And over these next 21 days, Lord, we're going to humble ourselves before you, position ourselves before you to say, Lord God, bring about the changes that only you can bring about. And so we look forward to this time, Lord. We thank you for how you're going to speak to us. We thank you for how you're going to become more of our everything in our lives. That's what we want. And so, God, we pray that you would mark this time in our church as a time of breakthrough. And we'll give you the praise and we'll give you the thanks in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. God bless you. Hey, we're going to continue to worship. If some of you need prayer today, come on down. If you want to stay around for a little bit of worship, feel free. God bless you.